It's Sunday, January 6th, 2008. I'm Kathleen Campion, and this is Bloomberg News Sunday. When Jonathan Haze came to talk with us this week about his first novel, he emptied his pockets on the studio desk, searching for a cell phone to silence. He laid down a battered police badge, a medical examiner's badge which he explained gets him into crime scenes. And that's the thing about Haze. He's a forensic scientist, a physician. He's worked as a New York medical examiner for 17 years and did his share of the crushing work following September 11th. All of that informs his fiction.
Audiences are fairly sophisticated now. They know what a medical examiner does. I wanted to try and demonstrate what it feels like to be a medical examiner, what it feels like to do the work we do.
Well, when we meet your hero, Dr. Edward Jenner, he's in a fragile emotional state. He's recovering from the trauma of September 11th, and he, like you, did some of the grim work of identifying victims. Did you come out of that experience unscathed?
No.
Did anyone?
I don't think so. I think it was an extremely difficult time for all concerned. It was just very hard, heartbreaking work.
A handful of recent book releases reference September 11th, but are not about the terrorist attacks or the actual impact on New York City. How did you think about that when you were writing Precious Blood?
Initially, I actually started writing Precious Blood in early 2001, and it was going to be a fairly straightforward forensic thriller. I mean, Precious Blood now is a hard-hitting, classic serial killer story. When I started writing it, it was interesting to me. I was enjoying writing a novel for the first time. I hadn't pitched it to anyone or tried to sell it. But then 9/11 happened, and because of the changes in the demands of my job, I had to put the book aside, and I had to put it aside for a long time. I found it very difficult to go back to work on the book, because the book it's a dark book. And I realized eventually that I couldn't write about a New York City forensic pathologist at the beginning of the 21st century without including this experience. It was a very difficult thing to write about it, and I only touched on it. But there was no way I could have gone forward without having included that experience in the hero's background.
Jenner has close friendships of long standing with the NYPD cops involved in the investigation in the book, and it's not easy to write about how men bond with one another. I was wondering if his relationship with the cops in the story reflect any of your own experience.
They do. The police are an entity, a fraternity, with some sisters involved, of men and women who are very much a kind of an autonomous group. I think they tend to socially keep to themselves. There's a degree of wariness about outsiders. That said, when you work with people over a period of time, and particularly in the kind of extreme circumstances in which the police and medical examiners work together, you form friendships and bonds. And I think, particularly after 9/11, you know, I developed a number of close friendships with police officers. In fact, some of the characters in the book are named after cops I worked with in the 9/11 period. They're not representations of those characters, but they're just a kind of shout out to those people who I really admired for the work they did.
Getting on to the killer, the backstory that you give the serial killer in this story offers a lot more color, a lot more development than is usual for the villain. You don't have us sympathize with him so much, but what you slowly disclose to the reader about his childhood does help us understand his particular kind of brutality. Why did you do that?
I didn't want to have a kind of monochromatic villain, you know, just a complete psycho. I wanted someone who came from somewhere. I don't think serial killers are created out of nothing. There may be some sort of internal wiring issue, but often the way they've grown up, the circumstances in which they've grown up have contributed. And there are certain patterns of behavior that you tend to see in serial killers. And I gave him some of those patterns. At some levels, I felt sorry for him. He was a pathetic human being.
In your real work, have you worked on cases with serial killers?
Yes. I've allowed myself some liberties with this. This killer has a particularly spectacular way of staging his scenes. And in real life, it goes beyond the sort of things that serial killers tend to do for a variety of reasons. But there are some touches in there drawn out of real serial killer behavior.
The protagonist, Edward Jenner, observes in each case that there is writing, obscure, possibly archaic language, etched in the flesh of the victims. What were you thinking? What's the point of it being obscure language, a riddle for the people who find the victim?
At some level, I think it's boastful behavior on the part of the killer. This is an area, this sort of writing, this sort of text, is an area in which he feels powerful. And I think it goes towards his past, towards the things he's seen and become obsessed by. Writing on a body as a sign of ownership, and it's something you see from time to time. Now, in this instance, the writing is more extreme. In real life, occasionally you'll see someone who's been murdered and the killer has tried to write in their blood on the wall or on their body, and it's absolutely illegible for the most part. It's a very difficult thing to do. But in this instance, the killer is evolved, sophisticated, and driven, and I think that's the reason he writes the way he writes.
Again, without giving away too much, the serial killer's ritual of torture and death is associated with Christian martyrs. Is there a connection that you rely on here between religion and obsession?
Yes, I think one of the triggers that actually made me think about this as a central theme for the killer was when I started writing the book, I was on a holiday in the city, in the state of Oaxaca in Mexico, and I was visiting some of the churches there, and they're very, very Baroque. There's the incredible detail of gilding and mosaic. And this is something I've seen time and time again in sites of religion, this sort of obsessive detail that is associated with worship and religion. And I felt that this was something that might link these two things together. And that's what first had me thinking about this connection between obsession and religion.
Regarding the Catholic Church, you've chosen an interesting balance, a good cop, bad cop. In this case, a good priest, a bad priest. Why?
Well, I was raised Catholic. My high school education was at an English boarding school. It was a monastery school. So I got a lot of Catholicism growing up, and my family's roots are Irish Catholic. So I was familiar with the rituals and the rites of the church and the history of the saints. And I was always struck by how incredibly brutal, how incredibly violent that history was, and how the more brutal it was, the more associated it was with, you know, the elevated spirit. And that was, I think, another grain in which sent me in this particular direction.
That's Jonathan Hayes. The book is Precious Blood. Up next, a Coen brother goes legit. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.